Talking about both the science and the art, and I put that in kind of parenthetical question mark in quotes, is there to lying? And the book is called Duped, as Abby Ellen got into the story after what had happened to her. Subtitle: Double Lives, False Identities, and the Con Man I Almost Married. Can you relate to any or all of that title and subtitle of the book? We'll find out. Take one of those numbers. We'll get you on the air coming up. And then I want her to tell the story about the ring, the engagement ring. And where was Abby on the truth scale on that? Next on Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. So we're talking with Abby Ellen. Duped is the name of the book, and so many people hanging on to tell their story. But I think it was important that you get to this one piece about the wedding ring that he gave you and your reaction to it. The engagement ring. Sorry.
Okay, the engagement story. The engagement ring. So he gives me this ring, and he had made a big deal. Big deal. I'm going to get you a ring that costs $30,000. And I said, you know, that's stupid. I don't need a ring that costs $30,000. $10,000 would be fine. And he said, well, I'm going to go around, and I'll I'm going to go to beers, and I'm going to go in all these different places, and I'm going to find something. We finally go away. We're supposed to go away, and he ends up giving me this ring, and I opened it, and it was like I've had larger pimples. It was just
Right.
this tiny little thing, okay? And this sounds makes me sound again like a gold digger. I'm not. That wasn't what it was. It was just that it was like he had made such a big deal about this huge rock he was going to give me, and then he ended up giving me a piece of sand. So it just was yet another way that he was just fabricating and wasn't coming through in anything. So I had this ring, and I felt like he said to me, I am sorry, I'll do better. I'll get you something bigger. This is just a token. I'll get you something bigger when I have more money. And so I felt protective of him. I thought I didn't want my friends, I didn't want people to think that somebody of his stature, he was a lieutenant commander in the Navy, and he was a doctor, and he had all these important, jobs. I didn't want them to think that he couldn't afford anything good, so I bought a fake ring.
Right.
That's what I did. I
And you
bought a
wore it
fake ring.
around. But so in all honesty, though, were you just protecting him or also you?
Whenever anybody says, in all honesty, that's a sign that they're lying. In all honesty, that's a tell. I was
Well, what do I have to
protecting
lie
him.
about? What
No,
I
I'm just
Yeah.
kidding. Letting you know, future. I think I was definitely protecting him. But yeah, I probably were. If we're being honest here, I think they're. Yeah, I wanted my friends to think that, that I had gotten something that was halfway decent.
Right.
I was, I just. But it really was, honestly, it really was him. I really was. I just felt that people were gonna
Get a
that they were gonna
bad
sense
first
this was.
impression or something like that. You didn't want to have
No,
to.
they were gonna sense that something was off.
Okay. All
So I guess
right.
that was protecting all of us. Yeah.
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 So Abby Ellen, let's go to let's start with Brenda in Morgantown,
Okay.
West Virginia, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Brenda?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. You're talking with
Hi.
Abby Ellen. Go ahead.
Hi, Abby. I've got a real good one for you guys.
Okay.
I met my husband on the internet. I used to do a lot of internet dating back then. We was together for 13 fabulous years, and he died unexpectedly. He was never sick a day in his life, and we had the most fabulous marriage. But anyway, I've been a widow for 7 years, so I go back to internet dating, and I'm 61 now, and I couldn't be more shocked at what dating's like for my age. I just can't believe
Oh,
it, because
right.
lying has become a natural part of people's lives anymore. And I just wondered if you guys felt the same way, because every man that I meet, I catch him in a lie. And I have met at least 125 men on a dating site, at least 125, and I've only found three that I dated. Now, that's not very good odds, is it?
No, it's not. So, Abby, what's your thought on that, Abby?
Well, what are they lying about? Are they lying? Because mostly on the online, men lie about their height, they make themselves taller, and women lie about their weight, they make themselves thinner. So what is it that you found the guys lying about?
They just lie about everything.
But what they do, what they...
If they're married or single or...
Okay.
Yeah, everything. I mean, just well, it could be little things, big things. It's just always something.
All right, thank you, Brenda. Appreciate that. Let me go to Jeannie, who's west of the Rockies in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on Coast to Coast AM. Jeannie?
I'm thrilled, Ian and Abby. What an interesting and necessary program tonight. This is exciting. I have a situation where my sister married a doctor of education. He seemed the perfect guy, upstanding, ambitious, wrote books, toured all over the country, all over the world, loved her kids, has two young kids himself. They work and build a business. Well, he encouraged my father to give him complete control over the trust, his trust should he ever pass away.
No.
I'm saying he's going to pay for my kids' college and his kids' college. So he would put on this big air of being such a grandiose person. He did pay for my daughter's college. So my dad said, oh, yeah, he's going to do that. And I didn't know about this. So for 10 years, he's been aloof, but behind my back, laughing at me about chemtrails and the JFK stuff and anything that I want to fluoride in the water. So he's trying to say that I'm crazy.
I see.
And when my dad passed away, he's taken everything, and he's trying to steal my house. He's trying to steal $100,000 that my dad owes my aunt. And it's unbelievable the abuse of what, and he,
right.
His own daughter is not good enough to be a part of his life right now.
Well, I'm sorry this is happening to you. Yeah, I'm so sorry that's happening to you. So, Abby, quick reflection then on that type of the sort of the financial schemers that are out there, because he didn't take any money. Your guy didn't take any money from you.
He didn't. He once asked me if I had a trust fund. He did, and I said I do not, which is true. But I tell this to everybody I talk to: the minute anyone's asking you for money, that's a sign, and you run. Anybody who wants to be in charge of your trust, or you're this or you're that, or they need money, or you've met them online and you've never seen them in person and they're asking you for money, you run. You click off, you delete them, you go the other way.
Let's get to Joey, a wildcard line in Mississippi for Abby Ellen. Go ahead, Joey.
Good morning, Ian and Abby. How are you two?
Hi.
Hey, I've got a question and I guess an admission. My question is, the gentleman, the great naval commander that you were almost marrying, what was his childhood like? You didn't really get into the pathology of his youth.
Yeah.
And I guess, after listening to your story, I guess I am a narcissist. And
because why? You were really a narcissist, you'd never admit it. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm a truck driver, and my relationships seem to last about a year, and I transition midpoint, and I will have 1 to 2 relationships at the same time.
Well, just being somebody who finds it difficult to be faithful doesn't necessarily make you a narcissist, but Abby?
No. Okay. Do they know about each other?
No.
You're playing both ends to the middle, which is a fair admission. I'm glad you're admitting it, but don't do that. So,
right. Well,
but,
I mean, it makes me a big DB.
Yeah, I know.
Richard, however you want to say it. But I get bored, and then I always I pick apart the relationship, and it gives me cause to say, okay, this is done.
And it's you justify it of the fact that it has no future anyway without ever having discussing it with the other person who might be thinking differently. about it at the moment. So, Abby, what's your thought on that? What was the pathology of Captain Crunch when he was a kid?
Yeah, the pathology of Captain Crunch, exactly. He apparently, from what I understood, from everyone I talked to, he had a lovely mother, lovely father, grew up in Long Island, had a brother. He was this guy, the commander, was sort of the rock star of the family. Everybody adored him. Everybody was kind of quote unquote normal. But he said, he told me, and he had told his ex-wife, that when he was like 15, he had an uncle, and his uncle recruited him to do work with the Mossad in Israel.
Oh, my God.
Go on these secret missions with the Mossad, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Which is why he had a medal from Golda Meir as well.
Of course.
For his service. Yeah.
Right.
But here's the thing that's so funny. Is his wife and I were sitting, we became friends. His ex-wife and I were in California, and we were having lunch. And there's a few years that are sort of missing from his life. I mean, he was in college, and then he left. He said he'd gotten into a pole vaulting accident. He'd also told me that he had been shot. But anyway, she turned to me and she said, do you think any of it's possible? Like, there's still questions.
Right.
Fascinating. It's so fascinating. We will never know the truth, the whole truth. We won't.
Is he pole vaulted over the wall for the Mossad,
exactly.
It was part of the training.
Exactly.
Yeah, China. Joshua is in Nevada City, California, on Coast to Coast AM for Abby Ellen. Talking about duped, Joshua.
Yes, I have a lot to say about this. My father was definitely a narcissist. My mother, not, but I've studied all of this my whole life. I wanted to understand myself because I've caught myself in narcissistic behaviors, definitely psychedelics and introspection and psychoanalysis helps immensely.
Right.
And so what I've come to about all of this is, you know, it's a complex issue. So if you want to really get to the root of it, you can't just get into dualistic mentality, which is, oh, it's either this or it's that. You know, it's way more complex. I mean, so in society, honesty is mainly unrewarded. So it makes sense that people would seek to lie and tell people more what they want to hear. That happens early in childhood. And so what I find is that the philosophy of Eckhart Tolle, speaking about the ego,
right,
is the direct explanation of both sides of the equation. It's that you know there's one side of the equation that's egotistically lying to get what it wants and to make other people happy, and the other side is egotistically wanting to believe whatever scenario it is. But the bottom line is it all relates to that aspect that the person who has scientifically explained it better than any other psychologist I've ever heard is Eckhart Tolle about the ego, and that both sides of the equation, it's all ego. And that once you become aware of this process and the ego and all this, it leads to an awakening, which is what's happening on the earth right now, is that every human is becoming aware of this process and their ego, and they're seeing it firsthand with the president and everything. And I want you to please respond to this.
Yeah. What do you think, Abby?
No, I think that's right. I think that's absolutely right. I don't know if there's a question in there, but I...
Well, no, but the idea about... at least or in part when he was talking about his father, and it sounded like his mom was an enabler, but to understand it also, even that idea of duplicating that behavior, I wonder, so was there any indication that his father at all had was also a fabulist? Was he, because that was the case in, as we know, in Frank Abagnale, right, in Catch Me If You Can, he inherited that from his dad.
No, but his mother was an actress on the radio. She was an actress on the radio. So,
okay.
I don't know, maybe she was creating lies. She could act.
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right, let me go to, let's see, we got Rick in Denver on Coast to Coast on the wild card line for Abby Ellen. Rick?
Hey, how's it going, Ian?
Good. What do you think?
Oh, hey, I love this show. This is the best show on radio for sure.
Good. Glad to have you.
But no, I wanted to call in because I'm still kind of bothered by the fact that I used to have a job, and this was about 10 years ago, so it was kind of a long time ago. But I used to work for a really big bank, a really well-known bank, and I discovered that they were ripping their customers off. because, you know, they were getting all these charges related to ATM or
right.
late deposits or things like that. And they were constantly calling me up. And while I was in training, that wasn't even really my job, but I was in training, so I had to do this other stuff. And so I took all these calls, and I was able to see that beneath the internet, which was kind of a relatively new thing at the time, the internet banking, and then beneath that, there's like another layer of data, and then even beneath that, there's like a third layer of data. And so I was able to look at all of those data and see that, no, the customer was not doing anything wrong, and
right.
we were charging them illegally, and we were lying all about it. And
but you were by extension, but did you, what happened when you confronted your superiors with that?
Yeah, well, did you?
Well, see, I had a quota. I had a maximum, like I had full authority that I could refund all these charges. So I
when
had,
people
so
complained.
I had authority, I could refund the charges, and my superiors were like, hey, you're refunding way too many charges.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, no. I mean, these people really don't deserve to be charged with this. And so they fired me. Yeah.
Oh, didn't last too long, the relationship. Well, at least you get to walk away with your soul, dude. Abby?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I feel good about it. But I'm just saying that.
I hear you. Abby was going to say something. Go ahead, Abby.
Yeah, that's what somebody else was just said about how we don't reward honesty. And that's exactly right. You know, people who are just crucified or whistleblowers and people who do the right thing, everybody gets mad at them. We tell people that we want them to tell the truth, and then when they do, we get angry with them. And that's exactly what happened. You were doing the right thing, and what happened? You got fired.
Let's see if we have time to grab Mimi in Midland, Texas on Coast to Coast AM. Mimi?
Hi, how are y'all? I'm loving this.
Good.
Good.
I can only tell you what I've learned from my personal experience, and I was married to a narcissistic sociopath, and he may have been a malignant one, but I can't prove that. Malignant means he had harmed other people.
Right, sure.
But how it ended was after many years of marriage, and I had figured some of this out and endured it, he disappeared in the Yukon Territory.
Shut up.
I never saw him again.
Did he really? Or do you just, that's like a story that's being told?
Well, I found out at a woman's luncheon 4 years later that he was still alive.
Yeah, there you go.
His mother was very well known.
That sounds more like it.
So what did you do? Did you confront him? Did you track him down?
No, I got a couple of phone calls. I was up in the Colorado wilderness, and I got a couple of phone calls from that area, and he had been to that area and all over the world, so I knew it was him, but he would not leave a voicemail.
Interesting.
But I figured it was him, and I never called it back, and I did not try to track him down.
You're a wise woman. You're a wise woman. You had your out, and you took it, as opposed to, I can fix him. my love will fix him. Which unfortunately becomes part of what these predators are looking for, and they have a unique sense for it. All right, but that's not what I'm saying happened to Abby Ellen. I'm just saying I know that's true in general. All right, so we have another half hour, and so we'll line them all up. I think about half of the lines are taken right now, but we'll give you the numbers in just a moment, and then you hang on. We'll get to your question or your comment, your experience. Were you, by the way, not just a member of the class that has been duped? Anybody want to cop to being a duper, like we heard previously? It might take a little guts, but I'd like to hear about that next, too. On Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. Well, there you go. We're heading into the last half hour taking your calls for Abby Ellen. The book is Duped. And we've been talking about truth, the people who struggle telling it and the people that struggle hearing it. They might rather not hear it. But at the same time, We're also throwing open the conversation to you in particular. When have you been duped, and are you the duper? So says Christy on a wild card line. We'll get to that in just a minute. And I want to ask about a new model of truth that I think may be confusing all of us out there. There is a new model of truth, and it's not what you think. Next on Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. Abby Ellen, before we get back to the calls, let me ask you real quickly. Have you heard about the blogger's model of truth? Abby? Oh, did we lose Abby? Well, while
no,
you get...
I'm right here.
Okay. So have you heard about the blogger's model of truth?
I have not. That sounds like some kind of omerta. What is it?
Yeah. No, it's actually... When I was researching my dissertation, I wrote about true crime, right? So I've sort of developed this theory of what is true crime. When does crime journalism cross the line and become a separate thing we call true crime? And one of those things I had uncovered was that there's some slippage of data and the way in which data is handled between traditional journalism and true crime writers. But the blogger's model of truth is something which is getting a lot of traction, and I don't think people are calling it, but some of it may have to do a little bit with the Mueller report in a way, that the blogger's model of truth is you say something on the internet as a blogger that you believe to be true, and you put it out there. And the belief is that enough people will respond to it that it's like polishing a rock, right? That enough people will touch it and talk about it, vet it. And so by the time it comes back to you, it's either been proven to be true or not true. That's different as opposed to the traditional journalism model where it's incumbent on you as a journalist and an editor to vet something before you put it out.
It's fake blogs.
Well, and it isn't, though, in the sense that no one, it's the person can say, in all sincerity, at the time that I wrote this, I believe this to be true. I couldn't prove it. I'm allowing the internet to prove it for me.
But so, then you pose it as a question. You don't state it as fact.
Girlfriend, you and I are on the same page. But I'm just saying that this has become accepted in some circles as an okay way to determine something is truthfulness.
Right, and that is yet another way, getting back to where we started this conversation that, you know, 2 hours ago, that's exactly how social media is propagating all this stuff in the internet, exactly this kind of thing. Exactly.
Ding, 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 ding.
Because people are out there doing this, and it's fake news, it's fake blogs, it's fake all of that stuff, and people believe it. It's the videos that we see, and we assume that they're accurate because they're on YouTube or whatever.
Right.
Propaganda. We don't know.
Christy's on a wildcard line in Charlotte. She's dating online, and she claims to be the duper. Is that right, Christy?
Yes, that is.
Okay. Why are you duping people?
Well, it's not. I don't really think that I'm just purposely doing it. I think it's just how basically the people that I've dated. They just enable it, and it's like a pattern that they, like, I don't, one after another, they don't fix it. They don't fix it at all. They just let me have my you know, sociopathic kind of ways and just my acting out, and it's distressing to the point that it kind of becomes like a normalized behavior in all that I expect to happen in all my relationships.
Oh, that's so interesting.
What are you doing? What are you lying about?
Well, I'm lying, I get bored, and then if they're not, I guess, entertaining me or giving me that kind of sense of, I don't know, I guess, feeling
the center of attention.
I get to the point where I start straying and I start cheating. And then I tell them straight up that, you know, listen, I was seeing other people, blah, 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 blah. And they just kind of, I don't know, willingly know, but then they don't, you know, exit out of the relationship. They just kind of write it off as like it was a one-time occurrence thing. And
but you're not saying it's a one-time occurrence thing. They're happy to think that, though.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, how bad do you have to treat somebody before, like, you know, someone stands up to you and tells you, no, you can't treat me this way, and kind of do something.
So is that what you're doing? Are you waiting to find somebody who has the cojones to stand up to you, and they'll, like, you know, it's like trying to find the person who finds the pee in their bed, right? And if they can feel it. then they're the right guy.
Yeah.
I believe under the mattress is what you meant, as opposed to pee in the bed, but it could.
Under the bed, right. Under the mattress, right.
Well, very good. Thank you, Christy. I appreciate that. Let me go to Kimberly, who's in Miami on Coast to Coast AM, east of the Rockies. Kimberly?
I'm here. How are you guys?
Good. So.
Good. I'm really enjoying this. It's incredible. I had to say, real quickly, this caller before you, that was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to begin with that. Phenomenal, but I will say something. First, I want to say I really appreciate you guys both. A fantastic topic. And I've been the one who's been duped. And I want to say she brought up a really interesting point of something I was going to say. And it's that a lot of this, Abby, I wonder if you agree with me, a lot of this begins with lack of self-love. Now, in your case, not so much. I feel like you really did have a lot of self-love and confidence, and I feel like I had that. However, when we get involved with somebody like this, you and I, or people that do have, I guess, some self-confidence and self-love and self-respect, sometimes we feel intrigued by these stories. We want to dig a little bit deeper. And then I think, in my part, when I went through what you went through, very similar situations, and I would try to dig in and I would try to ask questions. And then, of course, it makes the sociopath narcissist very angry.
Right.
And it gives them a thrill. They have
a challenge
now.
Right.
And then they want to lie more. And then if we let them in more, they do it more. But as soon as we cut it off, sometimes they try to come back even after that, but generally they don't. Generally they get to a point where they're fed up. And I think that kind of answers what this other girl before me was saying, is that she's continuing to do this, but at the same time, I honestly feel that maybe she and a lot of people involved in these situations have a lot of lack of self-love, because you would want something better for yourself. You know, you wouldn't want to continue the behavior. You'd want to end it and say, I want something better for myself.
I think it's an interesting point on that it's reminiscent of the murderer who sends the editor-in-chief a letter that says, stop me before I kill again or something.
Yeah, like that. And the people that have been duped, I'll speak for myself. I actually was going to share a quick thing. I actually went through literally four people that were, one was a 7-year relationship, two were like 1 year each. And I knew in my gut that something was off, but I didn't have enough, I would say, education or information to know that these were, quote-unquote, narcissist sociopaths. And I think they were definitely narcissists. But three of them, and this is something that I wanted to mention because I would like to help, you know, women that are out there this might be happening. Three of these men were in the closet, okay?
And that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm a straight woman. And I don't, you know, I don't harbor any ill will against anybody. I'm not, you know, homophobic at all.
But you would become an unwitting beard to somebody who is
exactly. And
passive.
Let me tell you, this is really important for women to know. A lot of women that don't know that this happens, they would easily say, "Oh no, there's no way he's gay because he's sleeping with me and I'm a woman."
Right.
That does not matter to men that are gay. Because
I interviewed a woman in my book whose husband died of AIDS in the 90s. And she had, I mean, he knew he was gay, but he just couldn't come out. And it was a small town in the South. And so he married this woman. They had two kids. And then he was straying. And that was that. So, it happens all the time.
Interesting thought. Yeah, I'm reminded of former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who's married to Rip Taylor.
Totally.
She was in my district, and I was in her district, and it was like one of those things. Every time I saw that guy, I'm like, this doesn't add up to me. But
weren't they running? Gay,
clinic.
What do they call it? Pray Away to Gay Camps or something like
well,
that?
Well, yeah, he was a therapist who was doing a thing for, working with people who are, Marion is west of the Rockies in Washington, and she is joining us here with Abby Ellen in the time that we have left. Try and get everybody on here, Marion. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll try to be fast. But I do want to first say thank you so much, both of you, for making this topic public. And Ian, you're asking great questions of Abby in the initial interview, and that really helps a lot, too.
Thank you.
So My question might be complicated, and if we have to shorten the time on it, it's okay. Maybe I'll read Abby's book and get more answers. It's about somebody else.
You can do that. I just want to say something. You can also email me, and my website, abbyellen.com. So just send me an email. It's my info's on there.
Oh, good, good, good. Okay. Well, it's about a friend of a friend who I recently met, and this woman's an older woman. We're not sure entirely of her mental capacity. That's what makes it a bit harder. But she has a twin sister. And so from both my friend and her twin sister and my having met her and the man she's living with, they're not married, and this man just lies all the time to her. And he tries to sort of frame people. She's had several people come over and help her as caregivers and in other positions, and he'll say they did something they didn't do, and and then she lets them go. And also he lies to the people who are there, both her twin sister and other people that are through the twin sister meeting this woman and this man. And
that sounds very predatory.
It's the same thing. So I just wanted to know if you have any good suggestions about where to go with this. She's pretty sharp most of the time, but sometimes it appears that she's not remembering something or not aware, and we don't know if that's because of the stress she's under with him, and she doesn't want to leave him. And I think she does know he does that. So maybe
is he trying to get a hold of her estate? Is he trying to sign things over to him?
Everybody's wondering if someone, I don't want to say who right now. Well, I'll say it's my friend who's working for his stepsister, is concerned that he might even try to hurt her or do away with her.
And that
he is there for the money. He makes sure that she pays for everything all the time. He doesn't pay for anything.
The sad thing is that, the funny thing, actually, the ironic thing is that Frank Abagnale is now working with AARP to help with elder fraud.
Oh, interesting.
To help curb it. Isn't that interesting? Because, it takes one to know one. And he's really been doing some good work with that. It's a huge problem, huge problem. And basically, my solution would be, my advice would be to just keep your eyes open and tell her to keep her eyes open and not to make sure that she's signing anything away and that he's not forging any documents. That's the big worry.
First time caller line, Wayne is in Chicago on Coast to Coast AM for Abby Ellen. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hi. First of all, I've been listening to Coast to Coast ever since it came on the air with Art Bell for many, many, many years. It's the first time I've decided to call.
Thank you.
And I just think your show is great.
Thank you. Is this something that intersected in your life too, then?
Pardon me?
This intersected in your life too, then?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've learned so much from your show, and my mind is always going so much. And even at night, I'm trying to sleep, and for years, I've been sleeping with your show.
Oh, good. Well, that's a start. Have you run into this with somebody who's a liar or a duper?
Yes. I wanted to talk about a fellow I knew way back in the day. I'm 56 years old, and he was totally amazing. He was able to pick up women and just tell them lies, and it was just so easy for him. I don't know if he was, sociopathic, or I know he was narcissistic, but I mean, we would pull up to a red light in a car in the summertime with the windows down, and a girl would pull up next to him, and he'd actually just get him to pull over to the side of the road, and he'd get their phone number, and it just was so easy. Eventually, he left a trail of babies everywhere in my area. He got a lot of women pregnant, and he got in trouble that way. He ended up leaving the state, and unfortunately, he left a lot of fatherless children.
I bet. And no alimony or anything to help support him, child support. Very interesting. Well, quick thought on that, Abby, and thank you, Wayne, for calling.
My quick thought, which is going to open up a can of worms, and I know we don't have much time, is that I still am not sure that everybody who does this is a complete sociopathic narcissist. You know, maybe this guy, I don't know.
But when you see a pattern like that, that's the part that makes me suspicious. It's the pattern of, you know, so many people in the same way.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking my image who came into my head was the Fonz.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of the Arthur Fonz Reilly.
Funny.
You know,
funny.
He could just snap his hand and he would get
That's
this.
Right. That's
you know,
right. Maybe he's the Fonz.
Maybe he was an artist. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
I like that. Wayne, you were hanging with the Fonz. There you go. Wildcard line, Parker is in North Carolina on Coast to Coast AM. Parker?
Hey, Ian and Abby, how's it going? My father was a narcissist who led a double life, and I was actually one of the first people to expose him. But I wanted to ask, is there like a lesser form of narcissism, like a passive aggressive form where other people, like strangers, will maybe approach you and kind of project what they think you are, and
that's
you just
interesting.
Play along with it?
Yeah, where you don't actively try to create an image, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I guess that would kind of be lying by omission, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very interesting. I don't think I've ever heard that identified, Parker, but I know what I'll be doing after the top of the hour when I get off the air. I'll be looking that up because I'm really curious about that.
I know. It's really interesting.
Yeah. Very good. Let me go to Joe is in Monterey, California on Coast to Coast for Abby Ellen. Joe?
Hi, Ian. Thank you for taking my call. Abby, have you ever heard of a Jezebel? I went out with one. They're dangerous. They're narcissistic, very narcissistic. They can be very, and they're usually very attractive. This one was like a four-alarm fire. And it's like you're drawn into a web, and you don't know what's happening because you're willing to believe until things start to go wrong. And when things go wrong, they really do go wrong. I caught her trying to set me up getting killed.
Oof.
More than once.
Wow. Yeah. How long did you stay in the relationship after the first one?
Excuse me?
Well, you said more than once after she's trying to
No. With her, well, because you don't believe it.
Okay. You believed it after the second one?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I was waiting for the right time, got my stuff, and left.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough.
Why I was with her is because, it was like a family. You know, she had kids, and I felt like I was like their father. So there's a payoff for people that get involved,
right.
Whatever it is.
You get something from it. Right. That's
very interesting. Well, in the time that we have left, I'll ask you, so that Jezebel syndrome, that's another interesting way of sort of codifying a different type of behavior, but probably all of the same thing. The book is Duped. Abby Ellen, you were fun. I hope you had a good time. I know it was a long night.
Thank you so much. It was a ball. Thanks.
And so take her up on her offer to continue this conversation through her website. You can link up to Abby Ellen by going to coasttocoastam.com, finding out more about the book and her work, and then a little maybe a Duped 2 with all of the stories that she's collecting from across the country. It's Easter Sunday and everywhere now. So if you celebrate it, if it's the kind of thing that you do, I hope you're getting good weather for it. And if you know somebody that is not going to be together with family today, you know, not bad to take a plate, put a little foil on that and leave it on their doorstep so that they are reminded that even if they aren't living the life that they used to have, there's still people out there who care. Anyway, kick that around. It's part of the spirit of the season of renewal. And in the meantime, Deus Tiamat, and I do too.